Psalm 92. I didn't pick the song this morning, but it's fitting for the text. Psalm 92. You know, that should be everybody in the house of the Lord's prayer. Should be our desire that God uses us. We were useless before He saved us. You say, no, I had a good job. I was doing okay. Well, if you were doing okay, why'd you come to Him? Why did you need Him? Coming to Christ realizes, it helps us to realize, we do realize, that we are nothing. And He is everything. Psalm 92. And so, boy, what a fitting song for the text this morning. I'll read a couple verses of Scripture and give you my thoughts. Amen. Psalm 92. I had said before I left that we would stay with the theme for the glow. And then I was looking at the verses and I told Brother Mike, I said, maybe I want to preach an encouraging message this morning. I said, first one back, you know, I want to preach an encouraging message. And so we'll just pass on the glow till we until I see everybody's glowing. Amen. I had an epiphany. I'll say this. Pastor's not just wanting you to grow. Pastor wants to grow. There's a lot of areas in my life I still need to grow. I had a moment with Joe, Brother Joe, talking to him. I'll just give you the gist of it. You know, there's a lot of other places out there that just seem to be membership just, I mean, it's just growing. And you sit there and, you know, I don't only want spiritual growth. I want numerical growth. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to just have a handful of people that are spiritual and there's not numerical growth. Jesus, I have more in my ministry than Jesus had at the end of His. I ought to be encouraged with that. But look at what those 12 did. I'm just now getting to experience that with Brother Joe. I hold two offices, I guess, two biblical offices. Number one, the office of a parent. And doesn't, how many parents in here want their children to be fruitful and multiply? Not just numerically, but spiritually. And then I hold the office of a pastor, and a pastor wants to know that, you know, his life amounted to something, that he made a difference. And some of that came full circle this past week. I still remember vividly. I told Brother Joe, sometimes I struggle with being here. Is it okay to say that? Just dealing with Brother Mark is enough to make anybody decide whether they should have come here. Is that okay, Miss Allison? You've met him too, I see. And but I was telling Brother Joe, I got a little choked up, and I told him if it was just for you. I still remember Miss Linda meeting me over here and saying I have a son, because I'm trying to scratch my head. I asked Joe, I said, Joe, can you give me a verse of Scripture that will, without a shadow of a doubt, with distinction, tell you where you're supposed to be? And he just looked at me. Because all we ever can say, Brother Colossa, right, is I believe, based upon, you know, when people talk to me about guidance in their life, I'm not the yes and no guy. Pastor, do you think I ought to do this? I don't say yes or no. What I will do is take scriptural, what I call mile markers or signs, and say, well, that one would give me the indication that probably wouldn't be the best direction to go. That one there would give me indication that that might be the best direction to go. And so I said to Joe, I said, you know, you're going to encounter that when you're in the ministry. Did you make a difference? I mean, Jeremiah never had any converts. So does he sit there and say, yeah, I guess I was the wrong guy for Israel for the time? And so I was telling Joe, and he took it very well. And I said, I am getting to the point where I believe that God sent me to Ohio for you. I mean, because we discussed this as well. I said, don't ever, when you make a decision, hopefully the Timothy guys are listening, when you make a decision to go somewhere, there's a lot of things you need to factor into it. Because again, you don't have a verse. You have a voice, but the voice will match the verse. There wasn't a scripture where I said, thou shalt go to Ohio. 2 Maccabees 4:7. You know, there isn't. You just have to believe that you're going to, and this is the thing, is the will of God a place? Joe's doing the same thing and more in a different place was, you know what I'm saying? And so I said this to him. I said, if I had to do all over again, Brother Miller, please forgive me. Brother Nicholas, please forgive me. If I had it to do all over again and I had a pastor guiding me, like I'm trying to help guide these guys, I don't know if I would have come here. Because you got to take a church into consideration. There was a church that had had a moral corruption and a $300,000 debt that contacted me. And I contacted somebody else, and those two were just too much for me to overcome. A moral failure and a money failure. And so a lot of things were kept from me, but I knew there was some money situations. There wasn't any moral that I knew of. But, you know, Joe said, do you really make a decision on the will of God on a building? I said, yeah, you do. He says, well, does that mean you just write Ichabod over it? And I said, no. God has, it's his church, and they're his people. And God will send the man that's equipped to be able to do that. But if I had to do over again, I'm not that intelligent to do $500,000 and restructure a church. And how many churches do you know that are going right that were left instead of those that were right going left? And so I think we have a very solid church. And but I said this, with all that considered, here was the reasons I came. It wasn't because of a conversation that Miss Linda had with me. It was Mark Menegos. And it was Rick. Rick and Barb Johnston passed me a note. And Mark said something to me. And I said, if those two voices are an indication of anything, the church needs a pastor. And I'll do the best I can, and I'll come, as the old preacher said, bloom where you're planted. And I'll come, and I'll at least try and make it better than I got it, whatever that is. And so that's what Miss Aurora's singing. Let me ask you this morning before I read her text. What would the church be like if you weren't here? How much would it change? Would it get better? Would it get worse? Would there things that are getting done that wouldn't get done? Or are there things that could be done and you're not doing them? It's a question, honestly, we have to ask ourselves. Or we're just really just spending time sitting on a pew meeting with other people and, you know, it's another aspect of, and can I say this? There's a lot of churches out there that it is only a social environment. It is only a social environment. Let's read our text this morning and see if we can get somewhere, see if we can help somebody. I came across this passage of scripture while I was sitting in church, and a preacher had preached out of the verses preceding this one. And as it is most of the time for me, I pay attention. I'm always going to pay attention, but I have a tendency to just kind of, does anybody else, when they're a passenger in the car, have a tendency to look at the scenery? Is that a good way of explaining it? So while I was a passenger in the car the other day, I looked at the scenery. And here's some things that I saw. See if we can all see them this morning. Amen. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The Bible says, now it's given two sides of this. It's given the wicked side, what happens with the wicked, and then it begins to give us, throughout some of it already, it said this as well, but it gives us the other side of the coin. There's two sides of the coin. There's only two sides of the coin. There's heaven or hell. There's righteousness or unrighteousness. Those that are righteous are headed to heaven. Those that are unrighteous are headed to hell. That's not a decision that God made. That's a decision that we made. That's why it's important for us to tell somebody else so they don't have to go there. There's an option. Amen? God is, if I can do a bad joke at a good time, God is the one in charge right now signing pardons. And you can get them. You can get them no matter whatever you've done. And but he's the one signing them. But when he signs them, he wants to see something out of your life. It says, the righteous, verse 12, shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those, and then here's where our text will be, but that lays the foundation for it. He said in verse 13, David, the psalmist says, those that he's referring to in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Now look at this word he uses four times in here. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. Didn't say might. Can I just stop for a minute and say this morning, if you're planted, now you got to understand what planted is. It's not, you're not a flower pot. We didn't roll you in this morning on a cart like they do at the nursery. Not the nursery down there, the nursery where you get plants. Nobody rolled you in this morning to put you on display. Ryan, here, let's. Ryan's at church this morning. Everybody look at Ryan, isn't it good? Boy, it's good to see Ryan here today, ain't it? We'll water him. We'll make him look fresh for a little while. And then we'll have somebody dolly him out after service is over. So he can go be a flower pot at the Miller house. Michaela, you following me? Palm trees are not in flower pots. If you've ever been to Florida, we were going somewhere the other day, Joe and I, we were going fishing, I think. And that's a story for another day. I got to say something bad about Joe. I've said all the good. Joe did not bait his own hook. And Joe did not take his own fish off. Now, you talk about somebody's got control over people. How do you get off with that? And but it was an experience just to watch. Now, he's fished before. I don't know whether he was just putting a line in the water. But it was an interesting sight to be seen. But while we were traveling there, Florida has palm trees. I don't know if Central Florida has palm trees that are indigenous. I think somebody from Southern Florida just moved them North Florida and planted them. But we were driving past this one field one day, and there was that palm tree out of nowhere. It was just sitting there in the middle of the tree. And Joe said, that's interesting. And I said, well, that wasn't, a seed pod didn't just drop there and that thing come up. Somebody planted that thing. And you could just see it. It was as big as could be, tall as could be. How many hurricanes, is that what you call them? Tornadoes are inland, hurricanes are, okay. Hurricanes have come through there, and there that palm tree stood. Now, if somebody had planted that, I don't know how fast a palm tree grows. I'm sure some of you scholars in here do. But it had been there for a long period of time. And guess what? It was still there. Because it was planted. It wasn't in a flower pot. At one time, every one of these pews were full of somebody. But were they a flower pot or were they planted? It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall. What shall they do? They shall flourish in the courts of our God. And then he says it again, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you ever notice some people that they have seasons in church? You ever been around anybody that has a season in church? And all of a sudden, they even tell you of their season. Well, I'll tell you what. There was a time when I was You ever heard those before? I used to. And they give you this whole list of things, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I am maybe. Maybe you're not as critical as I am. And God bless you if you aren't, because it's a burden to bear. And you sit there, and I often say to myself, well, what happened? And I say what happened because watch this. When you go to the next verse, it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And I'll not commentate on that. Since I've been gone, I've tried to be a little more pastoral. I'm trying. I'm working on that. Some things just don't need to be referred to, right? That little three-letter word right there. Anyways, verse 15, it says, and why? To what end? To what end? To show, whatever your preference is, that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. Thank you for church. Thank you for the home church. Thank you for those that are here today. Lord, I don't know who's planted and who's a pot. That's for you to search the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for the sake of this church, for the sake of the little children coming up, for the sake of our community, and for the sake of our country, Lord, I pray that we don't have pews full of flower pots, but pews full of palm trees planted, anchored, rooted, and grounded in the church. Lord, that doesn't mean that people can't move, but it's like I witnessed this last couple of weeks. Joe didn't just move his flower pot. He's still planted here, but others will be able to eat the fruit from his tree. We thank you for that. Thank you we're able to see that. Thank you we're able to see that through prayer letters that he sends and helps us to get a bigger picture of the other missionaries that we support. Lord, I'd ask you to speak to us individually. If someone in here doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today you'd make them a palm tree. You'd speak to their heart and they'd surrender to you. If somebody in here knows you as Savior but hasn't planted their roots, anchored them to a rock, and whatever comes, they're going to make sure that this church, this place that you've put them in, the community, will continue. Lord, I say it often, and I say it openly. This ain't home for me, but it's a temporary abode that I'm supposed to bloom in. And so help me, Lord. Help me to bear fruit. If a tree branch needs to be trimmed to bear more fruit, I pray that you do that. Help us to understand the concept of what the psalmist has placed here before us. Touch us and use us as only you can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I said, I read this verse while I was gone, and I began to have this thought. Obviously, I was around palm trees. I wasn't around any cedars in Lebanon, but Joe and I had this moment where we were talking about different things, and he was asking me about different things, and I was telling him about bottle brushes and magnolia trees. Joe's never seen a magnolia tree in its glory. And then they have a lot of water oaks down there. They have live oaks down there, and that's quite a sight to be seen. I don't know if you could describe it the same way, but a water oak will have them branches. I mean, a water oak, it could be somewhere 80 feet in span. They're just some of the most gorgeous trees. And then you have Spanish moss flowing from them and all those kind of things. And we had conversations about that. We had conversations about a lot of things while I was there. But I got to go back. I was born in Florida. I was born in Panama City, Florida. That is on the Gulf of America side. It's not on the Atlantic Ocean side. It's on the Gulf of America side. Amen. I'm glad there's something happening. I'm not a fan. Can I be political for a minute? I am not a fan. But I'm going to tell you what, there's been more in a week than was in 4 years. It's just good to know somebody's there, isn't it? Somebody's listening. It's good to see somebody visited North Carolina. It's good to see that somebody's going to help North Carolina. It's good to see that somebody went to California. I mean, people lost things. And we're sending billions of dollars somewhere else. It's just good to see. Now, can I make the correlation to here? It's good to see when somebody comes to a church, they join a church. They participate in a church. They become productive in the church. They bear fruit in the church. Because why? If nothing else, I hope when he came, he's going to leave it better than he got it. And when we come and occupy a pew, we ought to leave it better than we got it. But I've been going there for over, I was born there. Been going there for years, and I've been going to Gene's house for years. And most of the time, now I'm not saying this in a bad way, most of the time when we go, we have to trim the vegetation because they have a different season than we have up here. Things grow down there, you know what I'm saying? Things freeze up here. And they have that moment where they just come out for a little while and then they get frozen again. But 20-some years of going there, not only physically, but spiritually, every time I go back, I see new growth. I see new things that take place. The palm trees get taller. Oh, they get bigger. They get fatter. Oh, there's some kind of plant that she has in front of her front window that I don't know. Maybe they brought it over on the expedition from Mars, and it just... it does all this kind of stuff. And the guy came, and I was talking to the landscaper, and I said, I just looked at him and I went, do what you can with it. It's just this thing, and it's got root. It looks like mangroves almost and all this kind of stuff. What I'm trying to say, though, is every time I go, there's growth. There's health. There's abundance. And, you know, and even a lot of times it only takes place from what? Trimming. David makes this statement, can I say it as that? And he refers, and he again, there's the two natures that are taking place, if you will. There's the two sides of the coin. There's the unrighteous. There's a lot of people think that they're doing okay because they have momentarily. I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he was talking about, what's that verse of scripture used? There's pleasure in sin for a season. It's for a season. It looks pleasurable. It looks profitable. It looks like it's going to do something. And I'll go back, and I'm not trying to be political this morning. There's going to come a day that all that they thought was profitable to them will come to stand before God and be sifted by fire and by the eyes of the Lord to see whether it was really profitable. A preacher said many years ago, we ought to live our life in such a manner, in view of, for Christians, in view of the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know if we do that enough nowadays. If we did it enough, it would clean up a lot of the things that we do that we just do out of habit and just repetition. Now, I'm talking about the physical in relationship to these trees that they're talking about, and even in my illustration. But can I say this? And I'm not trying to be negative when I say it. I'm just trying to be realistic. Sadly, though, the older I've gotten, I've not seen the same in the house of the Lord. For me, a lot of times when I go to visit another church or I go to see somebody or I go to check in on somebody, it is not the case. It is not the case. We are not a place in our country, and we can't blame anybody else but ourselves. It's like I told Joe, and I've said this, and it's not mine. I didn't coin this. I told him when he goes there, I tell all the Timothy guys this, and I'll tell you everybody in the church. As a Christian, you're to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You are to set the temperature. You are not to be the temperature. You go into a place of business, you go in there like Jacob did for Laban. You go in there like Moses did for Egypt. You go in there like Joseph did for Egypt. You set the temperature. You go in there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. You go in and set the temperature. You don't become the temperature. You know what's taking place in a lot of our churches nowadays? They become the temperature. I watch, and I don't believe he was doing it for me because most of the time we just didn't get to talk. I got to watch him from a distance. He was setting the temperature. You know why that took place? Because he had realized, whether it was the span of time where he had gotten out of church or whatever, Joe said, it's better, it's more profitable for me, it's more fruitful for me to be planted and produce fruit than it is for me to just wander around and make myself feel like I've accomplished something. I'd hate to pull the spiritual curtain back from most of our Christian lives and see what actually is getting produced. Ryan, you are sitting on the precipice of greatness. Can I say this? Not only, watch this now. You are at a pinnacle point of your time and life. You're saved, right? Okay. You know you're saved. You don't know who you're going to marry, though. No, and you smile. That could be the most detrimental decision you've ever made in your entire life. You don't know where you're going to work. You don't know what really church you're going to go in, but you should be. But here's the financial aspect of it. How old are you? This ain't Wednesday night, but we'll touch on this because I've been talking to a lot of people financially lately, and I'm not the best at it. If you start now making a decision, do you have any kind of income coming in? None whatsoever. You mean you haven't went to Dad and said, Dad, I want to take over the responsibility of taking care of our house outside. Landscaping, mulch, edging. You get food. You get food and a roof over your head. But you got to lobby for yourself. Dad, I can provide a service for you. And here's the service I can provide for you at this cost. Right? And he comes back to you. Now the negotiation takes place. Well, we already provide food and housing. We're going to have to figure that out. So when that's all said and done, I can give you 50 cents a week. Right? Amen, Dad? But if you take that 50 cents and begin to invest it, when you get to my age, has anybody, maybe I'm talking about fruitfulness now. I'm not drifting from the topic. I listened to them in Congress the other day dissect the Social Security system. Dissect the Social Security system. Would anybody in here just like to, as a senior on Social Security, would you just like to throw out a figure of what you're getting? Anybody want to do that? It's just a portion of all the other stuff. Nobody wants to do that. Okay. $2,000. $2,300. $2,200. And you've been putting into it since? At 16, and they tax that. Anybody in here want to do the math on what he should have been given to him as a payment every month if they would have done what they were supposed to do with it? So we can't rely on them anymore. You know what we have to rely on? Yourself. And I say that as well. Pastor cannot make you fruitful. You have to make yourself fruitful, abiding in the vine. God, I want to do just as it is with stewardship. And you start doing those things, Ryan, and you are down the road continuing to be fruitful, because if you continue to learn those processes and those principles, now you can begin to take that money, not only save it, not only spend it, but how you share it. That's the financial realm. Can I say that applies the same way in the spiritual realm? He talks about giving us talents, and what are we going to do with the talents? How much of an investment have we made within talents? I'm going to tell you what, there are going to be a lot of us surprised when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, how we really thought we were doing something, and it really amounted to nothing. We were a pretty we were a pretty plant in a flower pot just on display for everybody else. And I've said this many times, and it's sad when I say it. The older I've gotten, I've not seen the same in the house of the Lord. Can I say to each of us, as a tree planted by the rivers of water, should society should see something out of us? There should be an allurement, whether it be in our families, whether it be in our finances, whether it be in our fellowship. They ought to see something. There is a difference there. There is a distinct difference in that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit and in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. And David is highlighting that. With that being said, I want to just touch on these three things real quick and preach on this thought. The proof of being planted. The proof of being planted. And no, it's not for us to be fruit inspectors. It really isn't. But I'm going to tell you what, the younger generation ought to see something. We are having an exodus of our young people departing from the faith. Do you know why most of the time? It's because there's no proof. There's no substance that they can see that they sit there and say, hey, that's something I want to, can I say this? Invest in. That's something I want to get on board with. David distinctly points out three, can I say these? Three proofs, if you will, of being planted. And it's a time for us to examine ourselves. Scripture is that moment where we look into the mirror of the Word of God and we say, David testified of this. Can this be said of my life? We took a hearing test before I left, right? How was our hearing? Does anybody remember that? Okay, two people remembered that. We took a hearing test. Let's take a, what do they call, horticultural test today. We'll keep in line with the H's. We took a hearing test. Let's take a horticultural test, you know. You'll see those folks down there. I don't know if they really have the tools to do that, but they'll test something, you know. They'll look at something. I had somebody come cut a tree this year. No, somebody come and pitch a case to cut a tree at my house. He didn't know I knew people that would cut it for free, but he was trying to pitch this case for me, these, what are these ones that had the beetles not too long ago, and I lost a dozen, ash? He was trying to convince me this big giant ash tree I got in my house, I'd take that down now. I bet you would too, for money's sake. But these folks say they have these means to test things. Imagine if God came in today and just tested us. Tested us on our lifespan, our viability, our fruitfulness. What would those results yield? Let's see what David said is three tests, three proofs of being planted. The first one he gives us is in 13b. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, all right? That's not by a show of hands, but by a show of hearts. I'm planted. I chuckle at that as a preacher sometimes. Preacher, I'm here. I'm with you. Can I say this, and I'm not shooting at anybody when I say this. If Pastor Lovett was in a plane crash, and why in the world they clapped at the end of our landing when we got to Akron, I have no idea. I mean, I would say, you ever just get in a room with somebody and something happens and you're going, did I miss something? What is it? Has it been... You know, now when I landed in the Windy City, not Chicago, but Port Elizabeth, South Africa, they've probably changed the name of it. That's the going thing nowadays. You come in like this, man. It was like this, and you just, and they didn't clap. They went, We landed in Akron. I kid you not. I wanted to ask the pilot, but the door was shut. They literally, I mean, yeah, it was like this, the whole, you know how they landed? And I'm sitting here saying, boy, I'm sure somebody salted, I sure hope somebody salted the, because I was waiting for this thing to just, I don't know why they were clapping. Pilot's first landing? I don't know. Hey, I don't know if Breeze Airways has a DEI program. I don't know. Is everybody okay? But they clapped. I didn't. I was just glad we landed. I did clap after Jacob got us home, though. No, just joking. Proof number one. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, by a show of hearts, not hands, you could say, and God is your judge, I'm planted. I'm not moving. God's got to root me up. I'm afraid some of us feel so dedicated by that we won't even go somewhere else. Joe's getting a life lesson for Central Florida. Life lesson, buddy. I almost took him down to the dollar store and Waffle House and got him a Billy Ray Cyrus hair implant and some wife beaters. That's Central Florida, baby. And a couple missing teeth. I'm just saying. He's blending in. He was. I even made a joke about it while I was at his house. We were getting ready to leave, and he was talking. I guess it's in the third person. I don't even know. I'm not good enough in English. He was making references to Yankees, like he wasn't one. And I was walking out the door, and I turned back around. I said, and he had bib overalls on when he invited us over. And I turned back around. I said, Joe, you is a Yankee. You ain't been down here. Listen, you don't even have a license from down there, man. Your tags still say Ohio. I got tinted tag covers while I was using his car while I was there. I didn't want to be shot. All right, I broke my watch band. See what y'all do to me? Oh. Show of hearts, not hands. Are you playing it? I mean, I'm not budging. You know how many people I've had say to me through the years, and I'm not just talking about pastoring. Oh, preacher, I'm in. I ain't going anywhere. Can I say with a broken heart this morning that the church that we invested our lives into, every church we invest our lives into over there, does not exist anymore. You hear people say often, Brother O'Malley recently, he was in Grenada, and they're still going, and they're still flourishing, and they're still... Now, I hope it's not an indictment on me, but it's an indictment on the plant, whether it was potted or it was planted. You planted? Can I say this respectfully? This is your church. Pastors don't have a church, really. They follow God wherever they may go. If somebody's... Is the parking lot yours? Are you a steward over the parking lot? Are you a steward over the nursery? Or is it just temporary? Will there be a legacy left behind? Can somebody say, I remember when... And boy, look at the difference that it made. First proof is a flourishing presence. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall, what shall they do? They'll flourish. They'll flourish in the courts of our God. Has anybody ever heard of kudzu? Anybody ever heard of kudzu? Huh? Says the guy from Ludowice. Kudzu, don't listen to Buddy, was transplanted from Japan. And it was soil conservation. Now go I-20 from Atlanta to Augusta, and you need Agent Orange. It literally will take over, and it'll cross the interstate. It grows, 2 to 4 inches a day once it gets planted. That's a plant that God created. You are a person that God saved. Can the same growth be charted for you? Proof of being planted, number one, is a flourishing presence. You've heard him say before, bloom where you're planted. Again, are you a flower pot in the house of God? That you're here one moment and you're not the next? We can put you wherever just to make you look good. Or are you somebody that can actually bloom where you're planted? Something will grow as a result of your presence there. Number two, verse 14, a flourishing presence. You say, I don't know if y'all did invitations while I was gone. Here's part of the invitation. Lord, when the piano begins to play, and even now, is my presence at this church flourishing? I mean, if somebody was here 10 years ago and they came back and they looked around for me, would they see flourishing presence or a faltering presence? Number two, proof of being planted, David said, was a flourishing presence. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. The last time I was there, not the last time they were there, has anybody ever seen a Christmas cactus? And there was Christmas cactuses inside of the house that hadn't been watered for months. And I'm not a green thumb, but I have plants in my office, and I fare well if we can have light in Ohio. Is that okay? I mean, my camera batteries on my solar-powered Ring cameras died while I was gone. That was because it doesn't... what's the old song, It Never Rains in Southern California? Was that, what's his name from Colorado? What was that guy's name? The yellow-haired fella, huh? John Denver? Was that him that sang that? Well, he needs to reincarnate and sing It Never Shines in Northern Ohio. Anyways, Michaela, you sense I'm a missionary here now, right? I took that Christmas cactus the last time I was there, and I moved it outside, watered it. And I said, I think it's too far gone. Once a plant dies, you think it dies, right? And then we came this time, it was twice the size, and it had two of them, both of them, and just had blossom after blossom after blossom after blossom. You know what took place? It was moved. It was planted. It was in a flower pot, but it was still planted, and it was able to get the nutrients that it needed to be able to flourish. I've said this many times. This church is only a place for you to get what you need so you can do God's glory. It's a safe place. For instance, those glow books. If there's parents in here not doing those glow books, you're fighting against the pulpit, not helping the pulpit. You're working for the devil more than you're working for the Lord, because what are you raising up if you're not participating in that? It's a flourishing presence. Number two, David said the proof of being planted is not only a flourishing presence. 14a tells us the next one. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They're not only the proof of being planted is a flourishing presence, it is a fruitful pattern. It's a fruitful pattern. From the time that, listen, I hope everybody understands the process here. It's not the process everywhere. Hey, Noah, would you like to come up here? Or Noah, not like to. Noah, would you come up here and close us out in prayer? Ryan, would you come up here, close us out in prayer? Aurora, would you play the piano? You know what that is? It's teaching these children that as a little tiny plant, they can make a difference. And they can sing a song like Aurora did. Did you pick that song or somebody pick it for you? Well, hopefully, either you were spiritual this week or I was or we both were, that it lined up with what was being preached. So it does, watch this, when we're abiding in the vine, it'll bring forth fruit. So your singing matches up with my scripture preaching, and it ministers to you so that you can be more rooted and grounded in the truth. Downstairs, they're getting them to lead music sometimes, pray. I don't know if they take up an offering in children's church. We're facilitating the continuing growth and fruitfulness of people. Because watch this, if it is only because, well, Pastor Lovett, you know how he is, he's OCD and he wants this and he wants that and he wants that. So as soon as Pastor Lovett leaves, he's just literally pruning potted plants and they don't know how to grow after he's gone. I can't say it enough. I'm one person in this church. One person. It's just as much or more your church than it is mine. God could move me tomorrow. There should be a fruitful pattern. We ought to see growth. I don't know, there's this young girl that came to our church. I think she was about 11 when she got here. Total dumpster fire train wreck. And I just watched every little opportunity you give her. She just flourishes. And you see her become fruitful. And I was down checking on Sunday school classes. She's still a train wreck. She tries to clean herself up a little bit, but she's still a train wreck. And she was just down there doing her thing with the young people, hopefully putting something in them that down the road they'll still continue to grow. Can I say this? Jesus spent the bulk of his time with 12 men. One betrayed him. And those 11 men... And those 11 men had influences on, because they saw the influence of Christ on their lives, turned this world upside down. I don't know if any of us still understand the impact of losing Akron Baptist Temple. I said to somebody when I was down there, I was talking to a lady that was saved, oh, Brother Colossa, at Cleveland Baptist Church. And we have talked many times. And every time I come down, she talks to me. And we were talking about that, and we discussed Akron Baptist Temple. And here, she was probably what, 90s? Looked like she was in her 70s. And as soon as it started talking about that, she went, I know, I didn't know it's just a parking lot now. Because Cleveland Baptist Church, Roy Thompson, was out of Akron Baptist Temple. We're coming up on 100 years next year. When people come back, they ought to see a flourishing presence and they ought to see a fruitful pattern. Where's the bus ministry? Did the bus ministry just depend on one person? No. There was others, but who's going to take up that banner? There ought to be fruitfulness. Ryan, we're just getting to see the start. You're going to be a deacon one day? You're going to be a preacher one day? You're going to be a solid Sunday school teacher one day? You're going to be a facility manager one day? But what part are you going to play in this church? And will we get to see a fruitful pattern? I've watched people. I'm frustrated some days. They just get to a place and they go, they just stop. I think they just look around and they say, I don't want to get ahead of everybody. In essence, you're really behind everybody. David said there's proof of being planted. The first one is a flourishing presence. The second one is a fruitful pattern. Watch this about this fruitful pattern. I believe there's two aspects of this. There's personal growth and there's productive growth. You can't use the word fruit in Scripture without immediately going right to what? The fruit, not plural fruits, fruit singular, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's personal growth. Those should be a growth chart for each and every one of us. We ought to have those things somewhere around us, somewhere that we can look at on a day-to-day basis. Are those nine fruits, I'm going to use it plural in my explanation of it, are those nine fruit indicative in my life? Is there more love as I grow? Is there a fruitful pattern? Am I becoming more loving? Biblical love. Am I becoming more joyful? You literally have to get somebody now to lead music that is excited just to get everybody else excited. Because there ought to be the joy of the Lord is our... Is there peace? A peace that passeth all understanding. Is there more long-suffering in our lives? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So there's a personal growth aspect to a fruitful pattern in verse 14. Then I say this as well. There's a productive growth. There's a productive growth. What's the productive growth? Fruit of service. Not fruit of spirit, but fruit of service. How many people serve in church? And service is what? Here's a good way to say it. The fruit of the righteousness is a what? Tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. If you've never, please take this for what it's worth. If you've never led anybody else to Christ, you are failing in this fruitful pattern. Because if you are not duplicating yourself, and please allow me to just use this as an illustration. Joe gives me great joy. He does. As a pastor, what parent in here doesn't want to see their kids successful? We've gotten to the place where we take John, 1 John, what's that one? That my children walk in truth. Can I say this contextually? That's not to you, Dad, for your children. That's to you, Christian, for your children in the faith. That's the context of that passage of Scripture. And if there's never come a point in our lives as believers that we have poured ourselves into somebody else, it just becomes second nature for me. Because I realize nobody did that for me hardly. And I've said to myself, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure. I know these Timothy guys probably get sick of my personal intervention in their life. But a lot of times, watch this, don't we, Brother Mark, take the negative in our own life and try and put it into somebody else's life in a positive way so they don't step in the same holes that we did? But if you're sitting on a church pew and you have never personally led somebody else to the Lord, why do you think I'm getting these guys to baptize folks? Jacob Inman had a personal hand in Jason Vittori coming to know Christ. So why shouldn't he have a personal part in baptizing him and then after that being participatory in his life so that Jacob dies in a car wreck tomorrow, Jason Vittori lives on past him for the cause of Christ. And we sit around sometimes and here's the resume that people want from pastors. Is he a soul winner? Well, if he's a pastor, he should be. But that doesn't take you out of the equation. You should have already been doing that. We're not getting a guy that's a soul winner to come there to fill up the pews. You were sitting on a pew. Fill up the pew. Duplicate you. It's a spiritual growth. Isn't that what I said? Or it's a spiritual fruit and it's a spiritual service. We duplicate ourselves. Everybody wants to have their children walk in God, walk in the truth. We should dedicate. That's what GLOW is facilitating. Brother Miller, what is it? You don't have to vocally. It'd kill you for me to get you to vocally do this, I'm sure. But what does it do to see Ryan and Joshua and Katie singing in the choir? There's young girls on this side holding the corner, man. I go to churches, don't have choirs. Don't have choir specials. You talk about a church service that you're trying to, it's like trying to eat food. You just fill in the one that you don't like right there, the illustration one. And there's nothing you can do to wash it down. You ever go to a church service and they don't even really have a song service? We're supposed to enter into his courts with thanksgiving. And into its gates with praise. What does it do to sit there and watch God three generations of that? And Ryan, you have an obligation to marry right and raise children right and be fruitful your own self. Fruitful what? Pattern. You just see the gradual progression of them growing in the Lord. And then you get a Miss Paula sitting in the back chuckling, remembering changing diapers for Joe. That's what takes place. And then somebody comes back. And they go, wow, it's encouraging. And it's difficult sometimes. Brother O'Malley or these missionaries come back. How many missionaries have you heard report back and say, man, y'all are doing good? And I believe they mean it. It's not that way with a lot of churches. It's just, watch this, older people. And a lot of times the older people will go, we're planted. We're what's making this thing stay together. Well, who'd you leave behind you? Were you just a flower pot? Where's your children? You know how many churches I go into and visit? That the ones that are my age or older, you say, and it's so difficult to ask this question sometimes. And I have this little routine when I talk to people. Where are you from here? Blah, blah, blah. And are you married? Do you have children? Because you're sitting around wondering what took place. There's not only a responsibility for us to have personal growth, there's a responsibility for us to have personal fruit. Somebody else ought to be able to stand up and say, I thank the Lord for so-and-so. I don't know where I'd be today. If it wasn't for his investment in my life, a fruitful pattern. Luke 13. We won't go there. You know the story about the man tending the garden and the Lord come back and the Lord said, hey, what's going on with this tree? It's supposed to bear fruit. You know how much of a heart punch that was when Brother O'Malley said the 60s ought to be. Now, we're not talking about Janis Joplin 60s. We're talking about 60s as far as an age group are the most profitable years. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm exhausted. And these are one of the ones that are supposed to be the most profitable? You can't just ever give up. You're supposed to continue to grow. And sometimes the growth takes pruning. Proof of being planted is a flourishing presence, a fruitful pattern. And the last one is this. He said, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. That's a fruitful pattern. they shall, three times, three shalls, they shall be fat and flourishing. The first proof was a flourishing presence. The second one was a fruitful pattern. The third one is a firm planting. A firm planting. They just get fatter. You just see, you ever seen a plant that just, you know, the root base is just not there? It just seems like it's just, the leaves are just, this is one that's just, it's, they're firm and they're fruitful. You see a continued presence in their life. You see that they're planted firm. They're not moving. That palm tree that I pointed out to Joe, I would love to just sit under that thing and be able to tap in and hear the stories that it had to say. Was there a farmhouse there that somebody planted there that one time? How many storms has that thing seen? And it ought to be, and here, let me say this too, the ladies. You know why a lot of ladies are so struggling in their early years in the church? Because the Bible says the older are supposed to teach the younger. There is no more attack. There's no more person under more attack in the local New Testament church than young ladies. I dare say that they're almost under more in, not the same, but in similarity of attacks as a pastor would be, or somebody in absolute leadership, because they can make or break a place. And the older ladies, the older palm trees that are planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth their fruit in their season ought to be able to share things in their life to say, yes, you can do that. Yes, you can make that. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's difficult. But there should be a firm planting. They're not moving. They're not budging. They're going to stay put. They're going to stay planted. They're going to be a help and a protection and a tree of life to other people. You say, well, great. Let me ask you these. We'll be done. Do you have a flourishing presence in the church? Do you have a fruitful pattern in the church? Can we take, let's not take weeks, months, years. Let's just do decades. If you've been in the church for how many ever decades, what fruit pattern could we see in this decade? And then this decade? And then in this decade? Is there a fruitful pattern, or was it this? I'm going to tell you what, the average church member is just having difficulty getting to church. Forget being a fruitful pattern. Somebody that you can look back and on a grave sit there and say, you know what? There was a consistent, fruitful pattern in their life all the years that I knew them. And the third one is there a firm planting? Could a windstorm blow you out? Could a difficulty blow you out? I've said before, and we talked about it in Timothy, the thing that's going to get me out, I've said it many times, is punching somebody in the throat. No, it's not. I think I've all but gotten that under control. What's going to get me is a constant beating of the next wave, and the next wave, and the next wave, and one wave after another, and you just sit there and go. But you know what? You ever been to, in South Africa, they had these things, they look like, what are those things? You bounce the ball and you pick up the, is it jacks? Is it apple jacks? What do they call that? Apple jacks? What is it? Just jacks. They make those as cement structures in South Africa, and they put them on the coastline. I don't know what it is about them, but as the waves beat in, you know what it does? It causes those waves to dissipate. That's what Nehemiah was trying to propose when they locked arms with each other, swords and trowels. I say it often. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. But if you are somebody of age and character, there ought to be a commitment to the house of God. You know why? Because Katie needs to see that. Ryan needs to see that. Because when those storms come, if we're anchored together and we know you're going to be here. And I understand for those watching, there's sickness, there's all that kind of stuff. We understand that. We're praying for that. I'm talking about the ability to come and you don't. And I think we've even gotten to the place where we can make any little excuse to cause us not to go to the house of God. When we're not there, you start taking those little cement jacks off that seashore and you take too many of them out of the same location. And then all of a sudden there's a weakness there and somebody sees that weakness and says, is there really a priority for me to be in the house of God? Which leads to the why. Three proofs: flourishing presence, fruitful pattern, firm planting. to what? Why? Why is this so important, David said? To show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock and there's no unrighteousness in him. I wrote these three things down. Verse 15a. He's perfect. He's upright. He's perfect. Why wouldn't I want to plant myself in a place where God's perfect? Number two, he's my rock. He's protective. There's a tree. I can't think of which one it is, but they will take their roots and they'll anchor them in and they find rocks. And they just anchor that tree around the rock. I was in Tampa the other day. It is amazing to me. I don't know how the system works, but Helene, was it Helene that just hit in Tampa? Is that the one? And there are, I kid you not, I don't want to be the person that trims those things. And they get the palm fronds off the palm trees. There's things that are four-story high palm trees. You ever seen those things? And the wind just, and you'll see that they're worse than sitting in a tree stand in a tall pine tree in Ludwigi, Georgia, during a windy season. And they ain't budging. You'd think that thing would lean too far and it'd just pull it up by the roots. Nope. To show that the Lord is perfect, he's protective. You know, a lot of people get out of church because they think God wasn't watching over them when a situation took place. And there's no unrighteousness in him. He's pure. Do you know what this world needs today? It needs people like us that are trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in their season. Their leaf all shall not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. And they need to see that. And you know what it'll do? It'll give, we have more hope in a lost president than we do in the house of God. I've heard more talk about a president than I have the Lord Jesus Christ in recent days. That ought not to be. It ought to be that people are saying, you know what? I need to get to church. I got a neighbor that, I'm telling you what, they're consistent, they're committed, they're compassionate. I need to get there. That's what I need in my life. Is that you and I this morning? Father, we'd ask you to help us, I plea. Help us to be that tree planted by the rivers of water. Help us, God. This next generation, yes, we've been given a span of grace, I believe. We've been given the ability to spread the gospel more, Lord. I thank you for that. I realize that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever way he will. And you have turned the king's heart in recent days, and I appreciate that. But let us not just appreciate the fact that the economy might be different. Help us to appreciate the fact that we get our evangelism and our opportunities to evangelize can be different. Help us, I plead. Speak to us each individually this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.